listening to the Fantasy Movie League podcast, the free fantasy game for Hollywood. Pick 8 movies for your own fantasy cineplex each week, earn points from real weekend box office results. Compete for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com. This is Wednesday, April 6, 2016, and it's week 6 of the Fantasy Movie League spring season. I'm Pete Johnson, the Fantasy Movie League nerd, and I'm here with Patrick Reardon, the box office guy. And Patrick, Batman vs. Superman completely fell off the cliff last week.
As expected, and I was kind of anticipating that before I saw the movie, and I saw it Sunday night of its opening weekend, and then I was 100% sure it was going to fall off a very big cliff. I'm not that surprised.
Well, folks certainly talked about it dropping off quite a bit, but it was up a little bit over 69%, I think was the final number, right?
You're approaching Hulk numbers there.
Yeah, that
was
big.
You're almost in the magical 70s, which is enormous.
Yeah, very big. Now, you wouldn't know it from where I was last week, which was Times Square, with huge billboards that wrap around buildings, and like you could not escape the marketing for the movie at all.
I'm sure you could have been in smaller parts of the globe in Southeast Asia and Africa, and you probably still would have seen advertising for it.
Yeah, it's not for the lack of marketing, certainly.
It's a situation where moviegoers, I had to see it on general principle. If Batman and Superman are getting together in a movie, I have to see it. But I think it's a clear case once that hype died down, then people just didn't react to the movie that well, and it's showing.
Yeah, it certainly is. People not reacting to it well enough that my favorite site, as I sent you links and in the notes we had in prep for this, had an interesting article today by Walt Hickey, who covers entertainment over at 538, in an article entitled "That Movie with Batman and Superman Also Needed a Vampire or a Heist."
That seems to be the formula going lately. If you add a vampire to anything, it's gold.
Well, he made an interesting argument that some of the more recent superhero movies add elements of other genres of film. So he argued that Ant-Man is really a superhero with a heist, that X-Men Days of Future Past is really superheroes with a time travel movie, and that Captain America the Winter Soldier is really a high-stakes political thriller. So it made it for an interesting argument to sort of roll different genres together for a greater whole.
It's not a bad argument, because Batman vs. Superman is a very straightforward superhero movie. And not only is it one straightforward superhero movie, it's five straightforward superhero movies
one.
Crammed into a 2.5-hour runtime.
In as Walt says in the footnote to the article, in a gritty, colorless world.
Yeah, it's not a fun place to be. I don't know if I'd ever want to live in this metropolis or Gotham.
Well, we'll see how many people will get to live in that universe. As Walt mentions in his article, that there's rumors of them sort of changing the tone and changing some of the things about the future films in response to how the falloff has been. Seems a little early for them to be able to react to that, but
I don't think it's quite panic button time yet. I mean, Wonder Woman's essentially already in the can. Suicide Squad is definitely in the can. It's coming out in August. Wonder Woman, I believe, is primarily done. So I think it'll be the Justice League movies, the Flash movie, Aquaman. I think they're going to definitely retool it a little bit as of the results of the last 2 weeks.
It's got to be for movies in particular, because of what you're talking about. Since the shooting schedule, and especially with something that's so CGI heavy like this, how heavy the post-production timeline is, it's got to be just really difficult to react to public opinion in a rapid way like that. Almost like I used to hate it in school when you had an essay for your English teacher and you didn't get the first one back before you had to turn in the second one.
So you don't know what people like. And
exactly.
The development cycle for these and the production cycle, it's not months. It is legitimately years, which is so I think it's going to be a while. I don't think Justice League scheduled till 2019, maybe. So there's time to adjust that one. But Suicide Squad, which very different in tone, is going to be what it's going to be. And I think there's only so much adjusting you can do to Wonder Woman, but people seem to be somewhat excited about that based on her cameo.
Well, the big film in Fantasy Movie League for this week, best performer, was 10 Cloverfield Lane. And that was one that actually Pro Box Office predicted this week. It was the second week in a row that they picked Best Performer based on what they thought the forecast was going to be. So they've been on a nice little roll here.
I was Zootopia heavy, but I was between, like, that was just dumb. I should have easily seen that over Deadpool, which I was just filling out the rest of my screens. But I still had a decent week, so percentage-wise, I'm doing all right.
Well, it was interesting. So it seemed like people were either loading up on Cloverfield, they were loading up on Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, which I know you were morally opposed to.
Which, well, I'm giving it a real look this week, even though I am morally opposed to it.
And folks were also potentially loading up, like you were talking about, on different Zootopia or what's the one I'm forgetting?
London Has Fallen, perhaps?
No, you know what? The other one was Deadpool, like you just mentioned.
That's what I did, and yeah, it cost me a little bit.
Well, Perfect Cinema ended up being 3 screens of Zootopia, 4 screens of the aforementioned 10 Cloverfield Lane, and then 1 London Has Fallen, and that's the one that I missed. So I got 7 of the 8.
So you had a good week.
Yeah, I had a decent week, and I actually moved up into the triple digits. I'm in like 380th, so I'm like in the top 95% now. When I was back, I was just in 1 week, I jumped from like 85th up to 90 something. So there's still big jumps to be made. We've got 7 weeks left here in the spring season, but the Fantasy Movie League powers that be wanted us to make sure that everybody knew that the second half league is going to start next week.
Second, for all those people who, you know, like feel like they missed out on the first week, they didn't want to fall too far behind, this is for you.
Absolutely. Or if you started late, if you didn't happen to start week one, if you came in the middle of the season, this is one where you can get together with a larger group and compete with folks. Now, last season, we did a pretty lousy job at giving some love for the second half league on this podcast, but I am determined to make sure that doesn't happen again here in the spring season.
Now, for all those people out there who said, but like, I would be winning my league if I just started week one, now you can put your money where your mouth is in the second half league. It is fun.
Now, the other movie I wanted to talk about, The Returner, just a little bit, Zootopia continues to hold really strong.
Not surprised, like all the kids out on spring break. Again, it is a 99% still on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a good movie, which is what Batman and Superman is struggling with. People really like the movie. I think it's going to continue to hold up well, probably through the rest of the spring.
It's interesting to see the trajectories of those two films compared with one another. Like you said, the strong critic reviews and with the public reviews of Zootopia, but that continues to have a really long tail as opposed to what we saw with Batman with Superman, where really it had a great Friday and then it even if it's opening weekend, since it was, and we had to pay special attention to this since it was split days, but then really fell off on that Saturday and Sunday, and then the second weekend was just brutal. Let's next give a shout out to some of the award winners. We've got one more. It's a familiar name to those of us here on the podcast because we've been off. Obviously, we were off last week while I was on vacation, and we had one more winner announced in the meantime. During week four, the Score winning Cineplex was friend of the program Mara's Midnight Movie Madness, who won a $25 Fandango gift card. So congrats to her on that. And if we look at the overall standings here from the week one starters, we've had some more shifting here at the top of the standings. Box Candy has $514.6 million at the top of the standings, but close behind is Sandlot, who's at about $514.2, so pretty close behind. Nathan Mahoney's Cineplex is at $510.8 million, and close behind that, Carstanza's Cineplex is at $510.1. So again, 7 weeks left. There's still plenty of time to move around, but those folks are sitting in the top seats as we speak right now.
There's going to be some big swings coming up, especially, I think, probably Jungle Book and The Winter Soldier are like upon us, and those are going to be pretty big movies, so I think there's definitely going to be some strategy those weeks, so nothing's locked, but a lot of things can change.
And how big those end up getting. I think Winter Soldier will definitely be split days, but do you think Jungle Book will be big enough to warrant split days?
I think it's either going to be incredibly, like maybe your 700s, your 800s, like super high, maybe Zootopia level, but I don't know if it's quite going to be split days.
Yeah, it's kind of right on the edge there, isn't it?
We'll see what the FML pricing gods do to us.
All right. Well, let's get to the interview this week. So Bill Kitten was kind enough to take over for me last week, and I'm just going to cop to the fact that I messed up the intro for her when I first started the interview with her earlier in the week. So I'm going to cut a little bit into that to make myself sound a little bit better. But she did a great job at covering for me last week and had some interesting insights as to what the Fantasy Movie League editorial process is like. So let's take a listen to that.
So you explained a little bit in the column what your screen name Genesis was, and the name has fooled several people in the forums into the assumption that you're a man, when obviously that's not the case.
Yes. Bill is my cat, and to be honest, when I joined Fantasy Movie League, I wasn't sure if I was going to be into it, wasn't sure if I was going to, didn't think I probably would be posting much on the forum, so I kind of was just like, well, what's anonymous? Looking around the living room, okay, you, I'll name myself after you.
There you go.
That's where it went, and yes, it, I do sometimes have to add my little disclaimer of I'm a human woman and not a boy cat.
That's so funny how similar that is. Mm-hmm. To just plain awesome, that she also looked around the room and found something, and that's what name she came up with. That's funny that you both had a similar experience there. Now, I also understand from reading some of the stuff that you posted that you have a family member who's also a player in the league. Is that correct?
Yes, my husband is also plays, and he was the one who got me to join. He, aside from award season, has always beat me. So, hoping I can keep up being number one in our house for spring. It's not looking good yet, but he was the one who recruited me, and he is the one who actually probably taught me how to play. So,
now, I'm fascinated by that. So, do you share information, or do you hoard information from each other? Because it sounds like you're very competitive with each other.
Oh, we share information. So we do have, we're in a league together. We have a work league. So, but yeah, we chat box office. We don't always listen to each other. Sometimes we do, and it doesn't go so well. I think I was the one who talked him into going big into Ladrones in fall season. So sometimes he listens to me to his detriment.
Well, yeah, at my house, we hardly ever have arguments over the merits of Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 versus 10 Cloverfield Lane. So I'm a little jealous.
It's fun. It's it's good to have someone to talk with in the real world. Probably a few too many people know about my fantasy movie addiction. So. Yeah, my boss always asks me now every week, like, so what movie are you playing this weekend? So we have lots of fantasy footballers around me, so they're kind of interested in this weird fantasy spinoff.
I have that at my work, too, where people ask me about it all the time, and even my daughter, friends of my daughter's parents, or, you know what I'm trying to say, parents of my daughter's friends, yeah. Is how I should say that. They ask me that kind of stuff all the time, too. It's funny how people... how those of us that get addicted to it even draw interest from those who don't necessarily want to play, I guess. What have you found particularly addicting about it?
I think, part of it is it combines two things I really like. I really like movies and really like business. So, like, financials and things are interesting to me. So, it's not just this, it's, I like to follow the stock market, all this, that sort of thing. So it kind of combines those two interests into something that I now have to frantically check every day. The other part is just, I think the part I probably was pleasantly surprised by and didn't expect to like was the community.
Yes.
I'm not the first one to say this that you've talked to, but the fact that everyone is so nice and helpful and interesting really has gotten me hooked as well. You don't always get that from message boards, but
you don't.
FML for the most part is very, very nice.
We've had our moments, I think, of yeah. of heated discussion, a frank exchange of views. But yeah, I would agree with you that for the most part, the community is pretty supportive of one another. And I'm with you as well that the business part of it is the part that really gets me excited about it. It's crazy to me how well a movie can do regardless of whether or not it's any good or not. And we've seen this just this past weekend with the huge drop that Batman vs. Superman had.
Yeah. So, now, yeah, that's that and all the movies I loved. I'm like, why didn't this make any more money?
Right. Now, you had an experience this past week, which is a little bit different from what most folks who play the game was, and that was you got to write about it on the main site and have people listen to what your opinions were, and you didn't have to defend them too much. I think they were pretty solid as that went forward. But what was that experience like, to not just have to prepare a week, but have to sort of prepare to defend it and prepare it in a way that other people were going to take a look at it?
I spent a lot more time on my numbers this week than I have probably any other week, just because I, you know, in getting ready to write this, I had to have it in by kind of the end of the day on Wednesday so they could get it up on the site. So, you know, I, unlike most weeks, had everything kind of set and lined up and ready to roll before all the pro estimates came out. So,
yep.
Usually I'm kind of do my little hedge lineup on Mondays and then really wait for Wednesday and Thursday. And I tend to get a lot of Friday morning panic about, well, maybe I should switch lineup. So this was very different in needing to really get all those, you know, get the comps, looking, trying to dig for theater counts and doing that all by really, I did pretty much all of my writing on Tuesday. So, there was that. And the other aspect is once I kind of put it out there, I'm like, okay, I've put my picks out there. Now I don't get to have any more panic. You kind of got to roll with what you put out there. And yeah.
Well, welcome to my world.
Just your own stuff.
So yes.
It was fun though.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. You did a great job filling in. And I really appreciate that while I was taking my family vacation. And that's the thing that at first I don't think people got. I think at the more that I've written for the site, the more people have sort of understood that, as you found, the deadline for submitting the picks article is Wednesday evening. And as you ran into, you don't necessarily always have all the information that everyone else will have by the time they hit Thursday. And you gotta make some assumptions about what you may or may not find out in the subsequent 24, 36 hours or so. And that's what led me to going to more of a, well, if you believe X, then pick, you know, this lineup. And if you believe Y, then go pick this lineup. Or sometimes I'll even write, well, you know, depending upon what happens with when the theater counts become final on Thursday, or what might happen with the Thursday evening preview numbers for new movies when you get them on Friday morning. There's so much that goes into it is the other part of it that I really like.
Yeah, and this week was, I think last week was, it was a little tough as a week just because there were so many smaller, either newer expansion movies that kind of had a lot of things that were in the, like, I think you're in the 3 million or under category. So those were the ones that were hard. It's kind of, you know, easy to say, all right, hold over. You're probably going to be between here and here, except for 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I never saw coming, and therefore did not get a perfect cinema this week. But those are, you know, little, it's hard to guess with the expansions just because there's not really anything comparable. It's kind of like, okay, the studio did this movie, but there's not a lot of good apples to apples out there for things like I Saw the Light.
Right. That one's hard, like you said, when you get to the theater expansions like that. I tend to put a little bit more weight on movies that are sort of on their way up as opposed to movies that are on their way down. And that led to detriment for me this week because for my low-end filler, I should have gone with London Has Fallen, but I instead with I Saw the Light, like you were just talking about. And then the hard part about this week was there was those three movies that were all clustered together with about the same price that were estimated to come in at around the same box office total, and you kind of you could only pick one, really.
Yeah. So, I went all in on Big Fat Greek Wedding too. So, I didn't really hit as close as I would have liked to. But yeah, it was definitely the Deadpool or 10 Cloverfield, and choosing differently obviously had a big impact on people.
Yeah, it did. It had a pretty big swing. I know for me personally, it did. So I was fortunate and guessed correctly, and I jumped up back into the 98th percentile this week, where before I was at like the 85th. I mean, it's still – there's so many swings still and so many weeks left to be played. Really anybody's game still. Now that you've gone through this experience, was there anything you would have done differently, or did it go pretty much as you expected?
You know, I think there's always room to learn. You know, I think like you touched on doing more of the, if this happens, then this could happen, as opposed to straight picks. I kind of put out there what I like to see from people's columns, which right. is, you know, what is your estimate and why? That's kind of what I like to see. I don't know. Maybe I would have ranted more about Batman versus Superman or given it a bigger fall, because like that did not do well this weekend, so I might have gotten more in on that too.
Cool. Well, you already gave me your screen name Genesis and how you came about to find Fantasy Movie League. Let me get you out of here with the question I always end with, which is, what would you do differently, or what would you make better in Fantasy Movie League? There's been talk of the mobile app idea. There's been talk of improving the forums or changing some of the lead structure a little bit. I even saw someone today in the forums talked about maybe exposing an API so that you can do more programmatic stuff. What would you like to see be different in Fantasy Movie League to improve it?
Yeah, I had to look up what API was from that, and I do not program. So
okay,
it's like,
I'm sorry, you failed. Okay, you failed
cool.
the nerd test. You failed that nerd test. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm pretty much HTML, and that's about it. I think a lot of what I would want to see differently is probably, and I have, you know, heard other people mention on the podcast, but really a proper forum where we can have different discussion topics that aren't necessarily so right now. People tend to start a new league when they want to have a side discussion. So
right.
being able to have some more topical forums. You know, I think along with that, I think player profiles would be super helpful, especially since, you know, a lot of FMLers like to change their names and sometimes kind of get the like, are you that person
right.
or not? So, you know, a little more like maybe pictures or information about people, you know, location if people are willing to put it, because that has so much, you know, impact on your view of movies and things. So
sure.
more information, I think, like that would be
You could have,
would be helpful.
You could even have like a history of screen names, so you could maybe track who
yeah.
the person was previously. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, it would be going crazy right now with all of the people who were Steve's last week. So
yes, I'm not a huge fan of April Fools, and I was not as engaged with forums as I usually was during that, and I think I was probably the better for it. As some people love that stuff, and for those that do, that was a really creative way to express that. But I'm not a big April Fools guy, so I'm not sad I missed that one.
I thought it was funny, but sometimes it's. You know, with that, I would certainly, if I was not privy to it and what was going on, I probably would have been pretty confused. So,
well, I jumped in like midday, and yeah, count me among the confused.
Yeah.
But when I finally figured it out, so all's good.
I probably wouldn't be paying too much attention to the forums if I was on vacation. So I haven't.
Well,
exactly.
I'm
been on vacation
see,
in the past.
That's I'm that addicted. I did pay attention to the forums just a little bit, but I knew. There was no way that I could make that Wednesday writing deadline and not avoid divorce court. So I think I made the right choice at finding your capable hands to take over for the week.
Well, I liked having the opportunity. It was, you know, it was a lot of fun, and in the past, when I've been on vacation, I've probably relied a little more on the comparator than I would normally, since I haven't had time to make estimates. So I feel like I'm returning the favor.
Oh, well, good. Well, hey, thanks so much for taking the time, and hopefully we'll get a chance to get you back on again sometime, and if I need another vacation, you're the first person I'll think of.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have someone who understands our pain here and understands the difficulty of meeting the deadline.
We can't, like, take our little picks into, like, you know, Friday. Sometimes we have to turn something – sometimes I turn a column in on Tuesday, like, you know, without any of, like, this data, so – I always try to get as much as I can, so like it's nice to see that, you know, it's a little more difficult than we make it seem.
Well, and I like that we're getting more and more articles from more and more people. We've got the running article every week that includes that's kind of the roundtable of folks that got published here today. The Pause and Play series, I like that a lot. I like that we're starting to get more people involved in the Inside Scoop articles.
We're getting a real lineup going here. Look at us.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about the new films here for this week. We've got three new ones to consider. I think one of them is going to be involved in a lot of lineups this week, and the other two maybe not so much. Which one do you want to talk about first?
I think we should go with the one that I'm having the hardest time because it's difficult to find a good comp. Why don't we start with Hardcore Henry?
All right. So I think there's two schools of thought here on this one, right? The long-range forecast for this from ProBoxOffice.com was $10.5 million. That was the last long-range forecast, although it was up when it had – earlier in its long-range forecast life, when it first came out, I think it was closer to $8 million. But they came out with their weekend forecasts, went down just a little bit to – let me look it up here real quick. They went down just a little bit to $10.2 million. Showbuzz Daily – is giving it a forecast of $10 million. You buying or selling that?
I was like using the comparator earlier. If you've got 10 or above, it looks like a Hardcore Henry lineup is the way to go. But like if you go down just to like $9 million, then that opens up all kinds of other possibilities, like my favorite movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. So I'm trying to find as much data as I can. Like I mentioned earlier, I just don't see like that great comp where it's obvious like how well it's going to perform. So definitely a risk. I'm right on the fence there. I haven't made my decision yet. I'm working on my column for later.
There's a really good thread if you're considering playing Hardcore Henry that you should read that Phil's Fun Flicks started a little bit earlier in the week. It's entitled "Let's Talk About Hardcore Henry," and there's quite a bit of discussion over the fact that it's going to debut in 3,000 theaters. And
which is a lot for a movie that would kind of started out low-key and it's just been really like building up the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely it is. And if you look at action movies, so combination of Phil and M37 discovered this, that combination of 3,000 theaters and action movie usually means greater than $10 million if you're looking at that. But it's a very different kind of movie. It's not a straight kind of – because of this first-person perspective, I mean from the trailers in an odd way it kind of reminds me of Birdman we talked about a couple weeks ago because it's – it's, I don't know if you want to call it a gimmick, but, you know, the first person way of doing that, reminiscent of Blair Witch Project, maybe, might be the other thing you might compare it to. But, I mean, that obviously had a way different rollout as well.
And one of the other ones I thought of was just like, if you're looking for like shaking up the action format a little bit, Act of Valor came out 4 years ago. And the whole gimmick of that was there were like actual like Navy SEALs or military right. personnel like playing the roles. And that opened up to almost $24.5 million. So I don't think Hardcore Henry is going to get that high, but that's kind of the genre busting pick that like surprised a lot of people. So Now I'm kind of talking myself into Hardcore Henry, like slightly over 10.
Yeah, there's some risk there because it could, because of the format, completely turn people off. But I'm with you. I kind of like it to be at that 10, 10 and a half.
And
it's going to be leading my
lineup
this week.
So far, reviews are pretty good. As of right now, about a 74 on Rotten Tomatoes. So people seem to like the movie.
Now let's talk about at the other end, we're having a large theater count here for Hardcore Henry. Demolition out this week, low theater count at around 550.
That's another one like we had and like was mentioned in the interview, like with I Saw the Light and Eye in the Sky and Meet the Blacks. Anything new last week with low theater counts? I think it's the same situation this week, just not enough theaters to really make me give it a strong consider.
Well, if you do want to try to give it a strong consider, the comp that I thought you might want to look at just a little bit might be Everest. Not the second week of Everest that everybody bet on in the late summer and then crashed and burned on. But so its first week, Everest opened to 545 theaters, also starring Jake Gyllenhaal, and it did 7.2 in its opening weekend. I don't think that Demolition is going to get that high, but it, you know, if it gets up to 3, it might have a shot at best performer contention.
Possible, but I mean, Everest also had the IMAX and a lot of large formats
That's
going through this week, which Demolition does not have.
Don't have that.
And
yet,
the closest comp that I want to say Nightcrawler, but it opened up on over 2,700 screens, and that only ended up at 10.4 million. And the reviews for Nightcrawler were very strong, especially for Gyllenhaal's performance. So, based on the screen count there, I just don't trust Demolition.
Yeah, I don't believe my own devil's advocate argument there. I think it'll probably be closer to 2 and not be a factor. Now, the third new film is probably priced too high to be a factor this week, but I think it'll be worth keeping an eye on next week, and that's The Boss with Melissa McCarthy, which the long-range forecast on that one was 17.5 when Pro Box Office did their estimates for today. They stuck with that. Showbuzz Daily went higher, though. They went 19.5 on The Boss.
This is another one where, like, I just, like, how high does it have to go to make me consider it? And I was playing around with the comparator again. If you have Hardcore Henry in the 9 to 10 range and everything else, kind of where it's expected to fall into, I had The Boss needing at least $24 million to be worth the play. And I just don't see it getting that high. So I think it's priced way too high this week. Agree, it's going to be a much better play next week.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think, are we getting to a point like we talked about with superhero movies where maybe we were starting to get some diminishing returns? Are we getting diminishing returns with Melissa McCarthy as Mean movies?
I think Melissa McCarthy has kind of got the female Adam Sandler thing going, where if the movie is actually good or a little above average, I think people will still turn out, i.e. Spy. If the movie's not so good and gets savage and just looks like it's mean, crazy Melissa McCarthy, like Tammy, or like this, like The Boss, I think it's going to end up on the lower side. So I don't see it clearing 20. I see mid-high teens. So 17.5 seems about right to me.
Yeah, if you believe in it, Tammy's the comp there, I think. So that came out in July of 2014 and grossed 21.5 in its opening weekend. But that was July, and that was a couple of Melissa McCarthy's Mean movies ago, so I don't think it'll get to 20.
And Tammy was coming off of like 3 in a row where Melissa McCarthy absolutely hit it out of the park. Like, Tammy was kind of her first, didn't do terribly by any stretch. I mean, 80 million is nothing to shake a stick at there.
Right.
But that was kind of her first, like, you know, semi-disappointment, or like just like kind of like got her off track a little bit. I think Spy brought her back, but I think she's no longer at the point where people are automatically going to see her just because she's in a movie. They want to see her in a good movie, and then based on what I've seen so far, I don't think that's going to be The Boss. It'll do fine because she has a loyal enough fan base, but I don't see a huge hit.
Do you think we'll ever get Nice Perky from Gilmore Girls, Melissa McCarthy, back, or you think it's...
Yes, if she decides to join these new Netflix Gilmore Girls movies at the last minute, I think we will get her. And she looks like she's pretty nice in Ghostbusters, based on the trailers I've seen so far.
That's true. I'll give you that one. Based on the trailers so far, maybe that's a little different take for her. And yeah, I kind of like those so far. We'll talk about that, obviously, when we get closer. But I'm actually kind of excited for that one. I'm completely dating myself as the middle-aged man that I am, but I remember going straight from my 8th grade graduation to a showing of Ghostbusters.
I was a little bit younger, but I do remember as a grade schooler, like, going to see that, and like it was pretty awesome at the time.
Let's just not discuss how much younger you were, and I'm totally cool with that.
We can do that.
All right. Well, anything else you want to cover for this week here, Patrick?
I think I'm good, but FYI, this is like the last week we'll be together for a little while. My day job is like sending me out of the country, so I will be going on hiatus for a few weeks from the column and the podcast, but I'm sure you've got like some lovely subs like filling in.
Yes, I'm trying to line up guest co-host for next week, and if I can't work out timing because of some travel on my part, it's going to default to my mom, which you and I discussed after I turned off the recording a couple weeks ago, that you thought that would be hilarious. So mom doesn't know that she's in the running for this, but she absolutely is.
Well, then I'll be listening for whatever part of the globe I'm in. I'm hoping that happens.
Sounds good. Well, that's it for week 6 of the Fantasy Movie League spring season. You can find me on Twitter at NerdGuru. Patrick, how about yourself?
You can still find me at The Box Office Guy. I'll be trying to like send a few things out in my travels, but probably far less.
You can still get your own Fantasy Movie League gear at FantasyMovieLeagueShop.com. And on social media, you can find the league at @FML_movies on Twitter and on Facebook at Fantasy Movie League. Good luck, everyone. Until next week.
This has been the Fantasy Movie League podcast. Come join us and play for free in public leagues or against your friends at FantasyMovieLeague.com.